Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Tonight, I am joined by the King ATL and Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing good, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I know you're in a rush as well. You're actually on your way to see our next host, and that would be Superman Cody Elias. Almost missaid that. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, Reggie, great to be back again. How are you fellas doing on this fine Tuesday evening?
We're doing pretty good. It's weird being on a Tuesday, but because obviously Thanksgiving is Thursday, we moved it up so that you can listen to us all week long instead of relatives you may not like, or as you're trying to go to sleep after eating a bunch of turkey, right?
I mean, that's a fair point. Very fair.
But yeah.
Yeah, if they run yours.
Of course they do. And one guy who may, I'm going to probably mispronounce his name too. One guy, because I'm not burying the lead here, one guy that may actually have plenty of time to listen to us now is former Braves executive John Coppolella. Did I say that right, Cody?
Yeah, it sounds about right. He's a former GM, which is even worse.
Yeah, and
wow.
The reason he is a former GM is because while working for the Braves, he illegally signed 12 international players to minor league contracts with the Braves, all of which are now technically free agents. They're immediately out of the Braves organization. He has been given the permanent ineligible stamp. Also, I call it the Pete Rose stamp because Pete's got a better shot of getting back at the game currently. He's 38 years old, and he will not work in baseball ever. The Braves, I believe, are losing a third-round draft pick in the 2019 draft. And besides losing those 12 players, I think they lose something else. What do you guys think about all this?
I mean,
Reggie,
being here in Atlanta, I mean, one of the things that has always been one of the strengths of the Braves and one of their bargaining chips has been their farm system. And so, you know, when you think about that, given the fact that we now have a GM that everybody's all excited about and saying, hey, we're going to rebuild, and for something like this to happen, I think it just sets us back.
I mean, from my perspective as a baseball fan and liking what John was doing with the Braves farm system, because a couple years ago that team was so old and they're starting to rebuild and they're getting a lot of nice young talent in there with Dansby Swanson, Aaron Blair, some of these guys, they got in that huge Shelby Miller chair with the Diamondbacks, and they were starting to build towards the future. You saw that last year with the way they started out the season with Freddie Freeman there, 500 at some point during the season. You saw some of their young pitchers like Sean Newcomb come start pitching really well, but then this comes out. John loses his job, and you bring in Alex Anthopoulos, who used to be the GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he did a really nice job with them. So hopefully the Braves have themselves back on the right, on the right track here, but a lifetime ban for a guy that's only 38 years old, I don't know how you can overcome something like that and knowing that you are banned from a sport where you're so young and you had a promising career and to flush all down the toilet because of something so something like this where you're the international, I can't even explain it how I want to put it into words, how I feel about it, because the guy was so young and he had such a bright future and just flushed all down the toilet because of this. And you're right, Jeremy. They are going to lose a third-round pick in the 2018 draft. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see how the Braves can react to this. But they hired the right GM to come in there and hopefully fix the situation and get them back on track and, building again for the future.
Yeah, and also they're just in general minor league money, but I know it's the international money that it's like – I don't know if it's 75% now or if it's 50% and then another 50% that they take away. So, like, let's say they had $10 million to spend on international players next year, then they would automatically have five. Then they would have, like, 2.5. It's these crazy sanctions. But, I, for one, am glad that baseball decided to stand up to this. I hate that it happened to the Braves, but, like you said, they got the right guy in here. They're going to try to fix this. They got to do something because they're already having attendance problems and they're doing some good things with the regular club, but knowing that there's really nobody behind them now, a lot of Braves fans are going to start tuning out.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to jump in real quick because you're mentioning how they're going to lose money. I believe they're going to lose $10,000. They can only sign a player to up to $10,000 from 2019 to 2020, and then they lose 50% of their signing bonus for the international pool from 20 to 21. So that's a huge hit when you see so many of these young players coming over from Latin America and in the Dominican Republic. Players like, well, Cespedes is a little older, but you have younger players that are coming over that these guys are finding so young. Like the best example I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm going to take it into my hometown fandom, that the Pirates center fielder slash left fielder Starling Marte, Gold Glove winner, was a guy they found in Latin America who was malnourished. The guy weighed like 160 pounds, and the guy turned out to be a budding superstar, and this is an international signing. So this is something that could really hurt the Braves going forward, and it's just – it's unfortunate what happened, but like I said, they have the right people in there, and hopefully they can get it back on track. But having your money, the money you have to sign international free agents has been reduced, so it's going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. But, yeah, I just wanted to get that out quickly because I saw it drop just a handful of hours ago. I was actually watching a baseball show. I was watching Intentional Talk, and Chris Rose started talking about it, and he was pretty fired up about it. He kind of agreed with us. But he was more fired up about Joe Morgan, who apparently works pretty high up in baseball. And Joe Morgan sent out a letter to all the baseball writers of America that vote on the Hall of Fame and said, don't vote for any of the PED users. Well, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that one I can take. I can take that more than I can take the fact I'm just one of those guys. For instance, with Pete Rose, I believe Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame, and that's just me. But yeah, I can definitely see that. Even though, again, if you're gonna ban it, or if you're gonna prevent these guys from joining, I mean, this is a widespread problem that's been a problem in Major League Baseball and other sports for some time now. So you got a much bigger problem than just Hall of Famers, but I can go with that one. I can go with that one.
My take on this is Joe Morgan's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest second basemen to ever play the game for the Reds, the Giants. He played for the A's at the end of his career. So, and he used to be a broadcaster on Sunday Night Baseball. So him and John Miller used to Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN. So Joe has seen pretty much everything. He's about 75 years old, so he knows what he's talking about. I agree with him. I do not think steroid users should be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm one of those guys that's probably in the minority that grew up during the steroid era where the home run race of 98 with McGuire and Sosa saved baseball. I was a huge Sammy Sosa fan, and I rooted for him every year. I was never a big McGuire guy, but I love Sosa. I love Vlad Guerrero, but the guys that have all the steroid allegations, I don't think they should get in. Like, I will never, ever approve of Barry Bonds being up for the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. But just you have to look at how his body of work was from when he left Pittsburgh. And, yes, that's one of the reasons why I don't like him, because he left Pittsburgh and put us in a hole for 20 straight years. But that's not the point. The point is that if you look at his body from 92 to about 2000, his head grew about 165 times the size it was before. It just doesn't happen as you get older. So, I mean, I'm not accusing him of being a user, but I'm just looking at the evidence that it could be pulling in that direction. Roger Clemens, kind of the same thing, where he was proven to have steroids. A-Rod, all these guys, like, they shouldn't get in. They were great players. They really were. But if you're going to cheat, don't get in. Like, the guys like a Greg Maddux, a Ken Griffey Jr., guys like that who did it the right way and were just, unbelievable athletes and unbelievable baseball players, they're the guys who deserve to get in. So I'm never going to change my stance on this. And you're going to see it eventually because Bonds and Clemens are getting closer and closer and getting into the Hall of Fame. But if you put guys in like that, then A-Rod has to go in. Sosa has to go in. Palmeiro has to go in. So you're going down a slippery slope here, what's going to happen. But like I said, I'm probably in the minority because I know a lot of the big baseball writers that are out there, like Buster Olney and stuff, who I love reading and just, I respect it, a lot, but they feel that some of these guys should get in. So I just have a little different opinion on that.
Yeah, we're going to get more into this as it plays out, but I have to disagree with you there, Cody. They at least deserve even the best ones that were users as well. Put their own wing. You can't erase history. You can't pick and choose which parts of baseball we should remember, because there's that big chunk that baseball was in the process of tanking in general, not doing well, and the home run races and all that got us to come back to the ballpark and start watching again. So we kind of can't really erase that to me. Maybe they deserve their own wing, so that if you're trying to explain to another fan, or maybe you take a young man or a young woman in there and you say, hey, this is the wing of people who cheated to get these results, but we can't forget about it. I mean, it's just like in history, you can't forget the bad things.
Yeah, and I get your point, but then you just kind of hit on it, Jeremy, that, you know, how do you justify this to children who are growing up playing the sport? You're trying to teach them the ethics of sportsmanship, so forth and so on. And again, and to Cody's point, how do you – now what do you say to a Ken Griffey, to a Chipper Jones, to these guys who did it the right way, I mean, with their natural talent, and they didn't get any of that help? I mean, that, to me, that's just – that's kind of a slap in the face. That's just my opinion.
My whole thing, and so real quick, shout out Chipper Jones. He's probably going to get in the Hall of Fame as the first balloter this year. But that's beside the point.
He should.
He will. I hope he does. I think him and Messina should get in this year, and Trevor Hoffman, and I had another guy, but I'm blanking on the list. But to Jeremy, your point where you're saying how you got to put these guys in, I'll agree with you. They can go in as soon as you put Pete Rose in first. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what he did on the outside of baseball as a manager, betting on the games that happened as a manager. What he did as a player is incredible. No one has more hits. Although,
absolutely,
if you count Ichiro and his hits in Japan, Ichiro, for our generation, is probably the greatest hitter we've seen, or at least for me. I think Ichiro is the greatest just contact hitter I've seen. But Pete Rose, if you put Pete Rose in first, then you can put a Bonds in. Then you can put a McGuire in. You can put a Clemens in, a Sosa.
Agreed.
An A-Rod. Big Poppy has been accused, but I'm just I don't like Big Poppy, but you can put Poppy in. Palmeiro.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would actually, you know, since we're we represent both sides of this argument, I think that would be a good compromise. And I 100% agree that, honestly, nothing personal. I do want Chipper in, but the next person in the Hall of Fame should be Pete Rose, and then we can go from there, because it's just ridiculous. They're going to wait till he passes, and that's a whole different thing, and we'll get into that another time. But
it's a little different circumstance, but Kenny the Snake Stabler with the Raiders got in after he died.
Uh-huh.
It was a travesty. He should have been in before. This is different circumstances,
yeah.
But still, you're saying how Pete Rose is going to pass away and they're going to put him in. That's a joke. He should be in to go. He should go in as alive as the greatest hitter in the history of baseball. But that's not going to happen. So it's unfortunate. But you correct this, and then you can correct. Hopefully, you can start putting the steroid guys in. But that's my hot take on what they should do.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, and I definitely agree with it. And for all you guys who tuned in to listen to NFL, we had to get those baseball things out of the way, because they're worth discussing, and on this show we talk about things worth discussing. But now let's get into some NFL stuff. This is something I wanted to get into last week, but I wanted to do a little bit of digging on it first. Reggie, I'll start with you on this. Why is RG3 not in the league right now?
I think it's a couple of things. Number one, injury concerns. There has to be injury concerns there. Number two, he had the one great year, his rookie season, but I didn't see that lights out, like Deshaun Watson. I didn't see that type of star quality in him as a quarterback. That's just my personal opinion. I don't see where he can come in and just benefit a team. I mean, he had several shots after leaving Washington with the, you know, Cleveland and tank there, and didn't do so well there. But I think the primary one is injury. And then, you know, it's kind of like that unspoken clause when you file a complaint against a company, right? It's kind of hard to get hired with some other company, because they know the history. And I think, you know, the way he's been kind of running his mouth here lately probably doesn't help matters much. That's my opinion.
Okay, Cody?
I think it comes down to a couple of things. I'm going to lay out the ones that are a little more minuscule to how I really feel about it. But I think one of them is that RG3 he isn't good enough. I mean, you saw the good first year with Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan in D.C., where they tailored their offense around him. They tailored their offense around the guy from college who couldn't run anything more than a college-style offense. Hugh Jackson is supposedly a quarterback whisperer, and Hugh couldn't do anything with him in Cleveland last year. And, well, then again, Hugh wasn't doing it with Deshaun Kizer or Cody Kessler, but that's not the point. The point is that none of these other coaches have had him besides Art Briles and Kyle Shanahan that one year were able to do something with him. I think the knee injury plays a major part in it because his knees were just – he got banged up so much. But I think it comes down to he's not better than Colin Kaepernick. Okay, if Kaepernick doesn't have a job, why should RG3 have a job? Kaepernick's a better quarterback than he was. That's my – I mean, I'm not saying because I'm a biased 49er fan, but if – I mean, if you want to argue about who's better, Kaepernick or RG3, we can do it all day long, but – Kaepernick is a much better passer and player than RG3 was. And I think if Kaepernick got a job, maybe team looks at RG3. But, I mean, that's my conspiracy theory. I think people are just holding out on him because they think it's kind of the same – you're getting kind of the same circumstance as you would if you brought in Kaepernick with the – it's not the same distraction that Kaep would cause, although he could because RG3 has been running, you know, like you said, he's opening his mouth a little bit more. But I think those are things it comes down to.
Okay. You guys both brought up the Cleveland thing, but Cody, you kind of said it too, that to be fair, you can't hold any quarterback accountable in Cleveland because apparently it's just where all quarterbacks with any skill level go to not do well. But
unless you're Kelly Holcomb, he did take him to a playoff game in 2002. That's the only Browns quarterback to ever take him to a playoff game.
Wow.
You can win a lot of bets on that plane here in a few minutes.
Right.
But the other thing, we know Kaepernick is going with the collusion case thing because I think he realizes he's not going to get hired, so he's got nothing to lose with that. Do you think there is that speculation out there that one or both or possibly even somebody over the Shanahans put RG3 out when he was hurt and pretty much kind of led the lamb to slaughter, so to say, that ultimately wrecked his knee. You think he's got a shot at one of these collusion cases now that he's probably not going to get back in the league?
Maybe for that organization, but not nearly to the level that Kaepernick has. I mean, collusion against the NFL, he probably has a strong case against the Redskins for sure, if he can prove it. But, I mean, again – he did not go out and play. It would have been different if, you know, he said, no, I'm not going. And then there was kind of this benching or this scolding or whatever in public. But no, I mean, I don't think to the level of Kaepernick, no. He can't sue the NFL. Okay. I'd say that.
Okay. I just figured I threw that out there because, go ahead, Cody.
No, I was going to say, I mean, sue the NFL, unless you're Jerry Jones. I mean, he might get away with it. I mean, Al Davis did it in the 80s. And, I mean, they got him in a lot of trouble. But that's not the point here. The point is we're talking about RG3, and RG3, he doesn't have a case. I'm sorry. I just think it comes down to he wasn't good enough, and he got benched for Kirk Cousins. Cousins was a fourth-round draft pick, and he got benched because Cousins was better. He fit that offense better. I mean, that's why there's so many rumors of Cousins. It's why there's so many rumors of Cousins coming to San Francisco next year. It's because him and Shanahan get along, and they tailored that offense around RG3. If you put him in a regular pro-style offense, he didn't do anything. And it's unfortunate because I like RG3 as a guy, as a character, as a human being. He's a great guy, but as a football player, I think his skills just diminished as time went on.
Okay, I agree.
So we're talking like a Tebow situation where he did really well in college. The transition just couldn't quite go there.
RG3 is a better talent than Tebow. He's a better thrower, athlete. But you could draw that parallel, yes, where the guy was great in college. And, I mean, Johnny Manziel was fantastic in college. The guy was the most incredible athlete I've seen since. Well, Tebow was great. I mean, Manziel was great too. But you can draw, you're right. You can draw that parallel, and I think that you hear people talking about that with Baker Mayfield and Manziel. So I'm hoping that's not the same thing, but we'll discuss that another time with Baker Mayfield and his antics. But yeah, I you're right though. That's a good parallel to draw with RG3 and Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Me and Coach got into talking a little bit about Mr. Mayfield last week. And as more has developed, we will talk about it probably next week or so. You did mention the subject of our next topic, and that's one Gerald T. Jones there, and that's probably not his middle name, but it is for today. Jerry Jones, apparently, the update on his whole Jerry versus everybody, apparently he was told by Goodell and or the NFL that Zeke was not going to be suspended, and then rumor has it a lot of the other owners, such as maybe some of the ones on the competition committee, started to go, hey, no, you have to go after him the same way you did after Robert Kraft, the same way you did after this guy here. Nobody's immune. If they did something wrong, you got to go after them. You can't make these backhanded deals and stuff like that. Cody, we'll start with you. What do you think about Jerry versus everybody going forward?
I think it's a compelling story. I think you have the most arguably, I think Robert Kraft is the most powerful owner in football, but you have the second most powerful owner in Jerry Jones going after Goodell. I think it's great. I think this is great drama. Do I side with one way or the other? No. I mean, I'm not a big Goodell fan, but I don't really care to hear about Jerry Jones every other day. The guy had a halftime ceremony to honor himself on Sunday. Think about that for a minute.
So, well, who else was going to have one for him?
I know, but it's just funny. When all this is all going on, and he honored himself at halftime. But I get where everyone's coming from, and I've read this stuff about how I think this whole thing is stemming from he's mad that Goodell said he wouldn't suspend Zeke, and now he's suspending Zeke. You know, this whole battle back and forth. I mean, if this is really the case, if this is what we're going to do, why didn't Robert Kraft do the same thing when they said they were going to suspend Brady for 4 games or take an air out of a football? So, I mean, we'll see how this goes. I mean, personally, I'm tired of hearing about it already because it's not going anywhere. Until something actually happens, it'll be more entertaining to talk about. But until I see something where Jones actually files a motion against him or, you know, these secret ballots that I keep reading about now, I read on PFT this morning, it's just, I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's just the Cowboys, I'm sorry, the season's over for them. Sorry, Jeremy, the season's over. And Jerry can worry about this next year when they get Zeke back.
It was over before this week, but I appreciate other people seeing that too. As far as the Cowboys season, that is. Reggie, what do you think about Jerry versus everybody?
I'm much like Cody in that I'm tired of hearing about it. I mean, on the high level, but detailed wise, I mean, it's an interesting story for sure. When you have, everyone was in agreement earlier this year, and maybe this was all predicated on his belief that, you know, that Zeke wasn't going to get suspended or whatever the case was. And our whole conversation about whether or not Zeke should have been suspended or not is a whole nother story. But that being said, how dare he? You know, I think that's when I see Jerry Jones, that's what I think. It's you know, he's obviously one of the most powerful guys, but now you're going to go and put a lawsuit on 6 other owners. I mean, I put it in the same category as I do with Trump being on Twitter. You know, going after athletes, going after the NFL. It's just like as much and as well as LeVar Ball. And, you know, I put all of those guys kind of in the same basket. It's just like, just be quiet.
I'm sorry to take this away. Did anyone see what LeVar Ball said today about Luke Walton? How he can't coach his son. Only LeVar knows how to coach his son.
I was wondering when that was coming.
I can't believe it took this long for him to come out and say that about Lonzo and the Lakers. I can't believe it took him – how many games this season are we, like 17? It took him this long? I mean, come on. I thought it was going to happen after game one after they lost that first game.
Yeah. I was wondering when that was coming myself. I mean, that guy is a joke, man. He is – wow. I hate it for those kids, man, because they're put in such terrible situations. Unnecessary.
To be fair, the one at UCLA put himself in a bad situation. That wasn't on his dad.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in regards to that type of stuff. So, again, you could put too much pressure on your child. You know, in this case, just be quiet. Just be quiet. And unfortunately, he's never going to be. So, That's all you can say.
All right, I'm sorry for LeVar Ball. He's such a hot topic that I have to bring him up. Wanted Rex to sneak him in.
Oh, yeah, you know, maybe we should nothing personal, I probably won't ever have him on the show, but if he wants to send us some sneakers, I'd totally rock those.
I'll pass.
Hey, I've had LeVar on our show in San Francisco, and he was on for a grand total of like 2 minutes, and he said nothing.
Yeah,
so we cut him off.
Yep.
Oh wow.
I heard that segment. It's probably one of my favorite LeVar Ball segments of all time.
Reggie, we took every answer he had, which was mainly yes and no, and put together a 20-second clip of all of his answers, and it was mainly, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. So that's all.
It sounds like an argument between two belligerent drunk people at a football game.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I wasn't going to throw any team under the bus there because we have belligerent fans in Atlanta as much as everywhere else. It's just we all do a pretty good job of doing something with them now, so we don't have to worry about that. I'm going to try to fly through some of these. What's wrong with the Chiefs? In my opinion, in the first half, they played with a lot of passion. They played with a lot of excitement, and then it's like there's just no gas left in the blimp here anymore, and they're not sailing and coasting along anymore. What are you guys seeing?
For me, it's typical Andy Reid coached teams, coupled with, I mean, here you go with Alex Smith. I mean, there's a reason they drafted Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this guy is Alex Smith is not, I've always thought, you know, it wasn't much further from a Trent Dilfer type of guy. I'm not surprised. You're putting too much on the defense now to carry the team, and there's just something about Andy Reid coach teams. They make you feel all warm and fuzzy, and then all of a sudden you're like, what just happened? So yeah, to lose to the Giants is just got to be probably the pinnacle of it all. Honestly, I really didn't imagine that they would lose, and my son picked the Giants to upset, and I go, no way, there's no way they'll lose to the Giants. And sure enough,
that's that same Giants team that lost to the 49ers.
It is. That means the 49ers indeed are better than the Chiefs, right?
I mean, if you're going to go, if you want to play this hypothetical, technically the 49ers are the best team out of those three.
I mean, technically.
This is true.
Cody, what do you think is wrong with them?
I kind of agree with everything Red said. It's an Andy Reid-led team. I mean, he's terrible at clock management. He always has been. That's always been his MO. He can't manage the clock ever or his timeouts. Alex Smith, I actually really, really like Alex Smith, and mainly because he played for the 49ers, and he had one of the greatest playoff runs I've ever seen before on that bootleg left up the sideline for 30 yards against the Saints in one of the most incredible games ever. But it's not the point. As a friend of mine would say, I digest. So I'll get back to the Chiefs here. The Chiefs are, I don't know what it is. Like, Kareem Hunt's kind of slowed down. You know, Kareem Hunt had a great, five, six games to start his career as a rookie, and then he's kind of slowed down. Their defense has kind of come back down to earth, although they only gave up 12 points to the Giants, so I guess you can't really say anything. But there's everything with Andy Reid, it doesn't seem right. I feel like he's almost like starting to wear out his welcome in Kansas City, even though they're winning. And, I mean, that division they're in is really bad. I mean, the Raiders are terrible. The Broncos are terrible. But the Chargers might be the next best team. So, I mean, I could see Mahomes taking over. I don't think he's over the season, but I think this might be Alex's last year in Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree with that because the follow-up was, is it time for Patrick Mahomes? And maybe not this week, but I would be trying to get him some reps at some point. It's a point to me that if you still have a chance, maybe you stick with Alex. But if you feel like you're out of the race, you go ahead and say, let's see what you got, kid.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Cody just hit on it, though. Well, you just hit on it, Cody. The AFC is so horrible. They actually do still have a chance to make the playoffs. So you can't really go into tank mode at this point. I don't think.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs are going to end up winning the AFC West. Unless, for some reason, they collapse and the Chargers or, I mean, the Raiders still have a chance. I mean, the Raiders can't figure their stuff out. I mean, they fired their defensive coordinator today. So that just adds to the list of coordinators that Jack Del Rio fired as the head coach between Jacksonville and Oakland. So we'll see. But I think Kansas City's going to end up winning that division. If you want to put Mahomes in, put him in against the Raiders. The Raiders, I mean, I hate to say it because I live out here. The Raiders can't stop anybody on defense.
True.
Nobody.
Yeah, their secondary is horrible.
RG3 can go out there and on one leg and probably beat the Raiders right now, how bad their defense is playing.
That could be interesting there. Let's see, Cody, I know you got to head out here in a little bit, so I want to I'm going to do a quick note, and then I want to get into this debate about the top NFC team. I can't remember if this guy's Hall of Fame yet or not. If not, he should be, but prolific wide receiver Terry Glenn passed away from a car accident in the DFW area just the other day, and what I knew about Terry Glenn, because he coached the Texas Revolution, the indoor team that we followed here for a while and reported on, he was a super guy, did so many things for everything in the a bunch of charities, a lot of other things in the Dallas-Fort Worth area there. It was terrible to hear of his passing in general, let alone how early it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I read that, and somebody else was taught. Charles Woodson mentioned it in one of his broadcasts the other day. So, yeah, definitely condolences to his family.
I liked watching Terry Glenn from Ohio State to the Patriots to Dallas. Drew Bledsoe had a really nice thing, a tribute to him that Peter King ended up publishing, I believe. Terry Glenn, I believe he's not a Hall of Famer. I looked at his numbers the other day. They're pretty good. They're not Hall of Fame numbers, but they're better than they're above average. He was a good receiver, and I think that this is sad what happened with the car accident, but it's just another guy to chalk up to a list of people that have passed away far too young, and it's sad.
Yeah, it definitely is. And to echo what you said, Reggie, thoughts and prayers and condolences to the Glenn family and all the friends and family. It's always terrible when to lose anybody. But I said I wanted to get into the NFC debate. To me, the top team in the NFC, unfortunately, Reggie, your team's not quite in it. Mine is nowhere close. In fact, mine's closer to Cody's than anybody's right now, probably. But I got it down to either the Vikings or the Eagles. Who do you guys like?
Definitely the Eagles. I think as an all-around team, I'm not a believer in the Vikings at all, and I think we're going to expose them here in a couple of weeks. I think their defense is good, but I think offensively they're overachievers. I think, and I absolutely do agree that they are the best in the NFC. They've got a complete team. I mean, when you look at defense, offensively, the quarterback, picking up Ajayi was huge for them. Zach Ertz. I mean, you can kind of go down the line, man. They've got a great team. They've got a great team, and they're playing well. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I don't, should they take a major injury to their team, and that's the other piece is that they've been lucky. Right, they haven't had any major injuries that have to any major piece that sidelined there. Well, yeah, but again, when you've got the quarterback that you've got that a little bit more mobile and rolls out and does what he needs to do, again, definitely the Eagles over the Vikings. I'm not a believer in the Vikings.
Okay, Cody.
Okay, so I think it's fly, Eagles, fly. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. Clearly, Carson Wentz is the MVP. Doug Peterson is the coach of the year. Howie Roseman, God bless him, is probably executive of the year. But I don't think the Vikings are the second best team. I think the Saints are. Sorry, Reggie. I think the Saints are the second best team.
Okay.
That defense is playing. I mean, when's the last time we saw a Saints defense play this good? Exactly. Never.
Well, again, they haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody yet. Like I said, let's wait a couple of weeks on that one. Let's get somebody that's scheming and some Julio Jones and some Mohamed Sanu streaking down the field.
Julio,
did they play for the Saints?
Julio Jones.
Did they
Reggie,
do what,
those,
Jeremy?
I said, do those players play for the Saints now?
No, they don't.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Like I said, don't get me started about Julio Jones. I took him in the first round in fantasy. He has one freaking touchdown this year. One touchdown. I don't care if I have won 10 games in a row. It's all despite Julio because he's done nothing for me.
Oh, so you're looking at fantasy.
You need to confer with me before you draft like that because I told two different friends of mine they were even in the same league as I am, I was like, I wouldn't touch Julio right now. I feel like his touchdown numbers are going to be down. And I look like a genius now. I don't know where I come up with that either. Maybe I was trying to get him myself and somebody else grabbed him. But, yeah, he always gets his numbers. But when he comes out and says stuff like it's more about wins than my numbers, that tells me that even he knows he's not going to get the ball as much.
Yeah, and back to the Eagles real quick. That trade they made in the offseason with the Bills for Ronald, was it Ronald Darby they got who did they get from the Eagles? Who did the Eagles give up? They gave up Jordan Matthews, but who was the corner they got from the Bills? If it wasn't Darby, it was someone else, but the guy is playing really well for the Eagles, and Jordan and Jalen Mills, I believe he's a rookie second-year player at corner, has played out of his mind for the Eagles. That defense is incredible right now. They stopped another team, they held their team under double digit. They held what? Was it 33-9? 37-9 against Dallas?
Yeah, 9 points.
If they keep this up, and I'll see what you guys think real quick, because I liked him when he coached the Lions. Do you think if they keep this up, say the Eagles go 14-2 and they make it to the Super Bowl. They don't win, but they make it to the Super Bowl. Do you think Jim Schwartz gets another job as a head coach?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he would.
I think he deserves one anyway. To be honest, I thought he was a good coach in Detroit.
Yeah, I like him better than some of the other guys they have in Detroit.
Well, the whole thing with him too. I love the whole Harbaugh handshake thing. I thought that was great. And I'm a Harbaugh guy. Don't get me wrong, but that whole thing with Harbaugh was great. I thought he did a nice job with them, and he's doing a hell of a job with that defense in Philly.
Yeah, he definitely is. But I know you have somewhere you need to be, Cody, and I do not want to get on her bad side since I have not met her yet. She seems very nice. We will go ahead and excuse you from your duties for the rest of the show here, and I'll just say have a happy Thanksgiving and have a good time tonight.
Hey, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Reggie, when you get to the Bay Area, you should give me a shout. We'll try to figure something out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I should be out there in
a few hours.
All right, guys.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, we'll see you, Cody.
Later, guys.
And that was Cody Elias. He had some plans that he took time out of his plans to be on with us, which we definitely appreciate. But that's why I was like, you know what? I don't want to get on people's bad side, especially seeing as how you might be meeting them soon yourself, Reggie, and they may go, I don't like that other guy, which is fine. But I try to make good impressions before I meet people, and then we go from there.
Please wait.
Let's see. I want to try to make an argument, and I'm working on this. It's a little bit of a stretch right now, but when I draw the parallel, I want to get your thought on it, and then we will we'll talk some Georgia Dome memories, and we'll talk Falcons and get out of here. But I have this theory I'm working on right now because of what he means to his team, because the offense is catered to him to where I don't know if a backup or anybody else could make this work except for the person that I'm going to compare him to. I think Kirk Cousins is slowly becoming the new Aaron Rodgers, just slightly not up on the same skill level. But Kirk Cousins to Washington is what Aaron Rodgers is to Green Bay. You kind of see the parallel I'm going with?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I like Kirk Cousins, man. I'm really interested to see where he's going to end up next year. I thought maybe San Francisco was going to be the place, but then they go and they make this trade for Garoppolo and kind of killed that thought process. At least for me, they did. Listening to Cody, he still seems to think that's going to be the case, but I don't see it happening now.
Before we get into the other part there, I threw out the coach last week. My theory on that is that I actually asked Mike Florio the same question, and he was kind of on the fence about it as well from Pro Football Talk. I said, what are the odds that Kirk Cousins still ends up a 49er and Jimmy Garoppolo could be elsewhere? Because it's kind of a six-month rental they got anyway. And he went, that's possible. But it seems out there, but that's not saying that they don't look at Jimmy Garoppolo and maybe he says a number that's way too high as far as the contract number, and they go, no thanks, we're going to call Kirk.
Possible. That's a lot to give up.
Sure.
And a big run to make to not have plans for him.
Well, they gave up a high second for him, and they would, if Garoppolo leaves to go to a different team, they would get a low third for him as compensation the following year.
Okay, so this is a win-win for them then.
Right. Okay, anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I think I would like to see – I think if he goes to San Francisco, it immediately changes their luck for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the guy that Shanahan needs to be successful. I think as much as I like him here in Atlanta, I think Taylor Gabriel could possibly end up out there as well.
I thought you were going to say Coleman, but okay. Yeah, Gabriel could.
Coleman, too. I mean, Coleman's definitely going to be a free agent. However, I think there may be some differences now based on all of the concussions that that Freeman's having. I think Atlanta has to think twice about letting Coleman go at this point.
Yeah, I think they do because it's going to be when they got – God, who was that guy from San Diego they got? Who Turner, Michael Turner. When they got Turner from San Diego years ago and he become a beast down here, letting Coleman go, he's going to blow up somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got the skills, but he's not that – he's just not that scat back guy that
right.
you know. But, I mean, as he proved yesterday and last night, he can carry the load when he needs to. So they're going to have to pay him, I think. I don't think they're going to be able to ride the Coleman wave. I mean the Devontae Freeman wave here. I think that guy may have to start rethinking something different about football.
Mhm. Yep. I definitely agree. Yeah. Let's get into real quick. What are some of your favorite Georgia Dome memories? As obviously for anybody who doesn't know, they imploded the Georgia Dome the other day. And it is now a pile of rubble, and everything went successful. I didn't see it damage anything else more than a couple scratches. But, you know, I got a few dome memories, and I'm sure you got plenty as well.
Yeah, I mean, the first one that came to mind as I thought about it was the very first playoff game that I went to. Obviously, the first game that I attended as a season ticket holder there. But definitely the very first playoff game. And the electricity that was kind of going on in the building. I recall them breaking ground to build it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's a point in my time that with my children, grandchildren, I can have a conversation and say, hey, I remember when the Dome was there, much like Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. So
right.
It was an interesting watch to see it go. But now we've got the drop top bins, as we like to call it.
Yep. The what is it I call it? The rose petal spaceship. That's what it looks like from the outside. And honestly, once you're inside, it kind of looks that way too. But it's really nice. I mean, I'll give them that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, dome memories. It's really crazy because I mean I've seen Monster Jam. I think I've seen the circus there. I've obviously seen. Football games and such. The three memories that really stuck out to me. In high school, the high school semifinal game was played there, and I was in the marching band, but getting to march across that field was just something else. All the games that saw with my parents there, that was something, but ultimately getting to cover Georgia State and go all over that dome and do some of those videos and show people some of the really cool spots in there that you just don't get to see every day. That it's like that dome. I become a part of the dome become a part of me. And I was really sad to see it go.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Onward and upward. At least that's
yep.
That's the MO these days.
Yep. It is. So we salute you, Georgia Dome. You are a great nugget in the happy meal of our lives, and we're glad you were there. But let's talk about the Falcons real quick, because the Falcons had a hellacious game last night, and that was a fantastic one at that. Did I think they were going to show up like this on Seattle? No, but I was sure glad they did. As good as Russell Wilson is, even he couldn't put the team on his back. So
right.
to see them be able to pull that out and to win in dramatic fashion, as is their MO a lot. And you could use any kind of excuses you want. People use excuses all the time anyway, which is fine, about injuries or this or that. But both teams were completely decimated by big-time injuries. And I for one, am glad that Seattle got knocked down a peg and it actually swapped Atlanta and Seattle in the playoff race.
Right. I definitely was glad to see what I saw out of
mm-hmm.
the team as a whole. Again, this is the second game that I think they played four complete quarters.
Yeah.
They fought back and forth offensively. I think they got back on track. I saw glimpses of it against Dallas, and you're never really sure until the next game. But I think they may be on track now. Defensively, there's still some penalties that are killing opportunities. They've got to clean that up. But overall, I was impressed with what I saw. They fought to the end, obviously raised my blood pressure sky high all the way to the last kick. But in the end, they won. And so I'm happy with where we're at. I'm happy with the progress, particularly on offense. Matt didn't look scared. He didn't look rattled. It
looked
like he was totally in control. And that is what we've been waiting to see all year.
Right. I just hope that they can build on this and keep doing this the rest of the year. You were never really one of these people anyway, but a game like that last night quiets down the people that want to move Sarkisian out of town. Now they're like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's still got some stuff to prove.
Sure.
Particularly – so it doesn't matter. You can go over there. But sorry, Jeremy. Particularly to what Cody was talking about as it relates to Julio.
Yeah.
I think people want to see him more involved, and they still blame Sarkisian for him not being involved. They just don't understand it. It's just kind of the evolution of the offense.
Yeah.
And it's the fantasy football, you know, mindset. Oh my God,
right.
I'm not getting any points. So, yeah, you might be right. And I reminded myself and some others the other day that Shanahan's first year, we weren't happy with him either.
Right. I think yourself and myself were trying to rent some moving vans and help him out of town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And then when he left, we were trying to flatten the tires so he couldn't leave.
Right. Or at least leave your quarterback's coach.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I like where we're at, man. I really was pleased with yesterday's game.
Yeah, and I just want to throw this out here. What's your take on J.D. McKissic being a slightly small breakout star for Seattle now?
Well, I didn't want Atlanta to get rid of him in the first place, to be honest.
I agree.
So I'm glad that he got his opportunity. Because I think he deserves it. I think he's a great player
mm-hmm.
In the making. I think if Shanahan could steal him somehow from Seattle, he could turn that guy into a stud.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think in the right offense, that guy could be a stud for sure.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we're going to talk about them. We've got to move on to the game. Let's see, do they play this? Yeah, they play this weekend. They get one of the weekend games.
She's there.
They welcome in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of people were surprised. I've already put out my pick for this game, that I picked the Falcons, and I said, have you seen Tampa play lately? I there's no way I could pick them to win this. The Falcons are going to win this probably 2-1. You still with us?
Sorry, Jeremy, we're having some technical difficulties.
Three.
Oh,
that's all right. No, I was saying that a lot of people were surprised that I'm picking the Falcons this weekend, but I simply reply, have you seen Tampa play this year? There's no way I could pick them. The Falcons are winning this 2-1.
Yeah, not to mention Jameis Winston's not playing, so that's definitely going to change the makeup of the game.
Right.
Yep.
You don't think Fitzmagic can do things?
No, sir. Absolutely not.
Yeah, this should be a good fun game to watch. We'll have all those leftovers from Thursday sitting around, be able to dig into those and put your feet up and watch the Falcons hopefully put up at least 34 points again.
They should. This actually should not be a close game. And hopefully they get a chance to rest some players. I think it's needed, particularly Julio, and I think Brian Poole. Looks like he may have gone out with a concussion yesterday. I don't know if you heard today they released Jalen Collins.
Yeah.
So
I heard some rumblings about why that may have been a thing, but until I have concrete evidence, I'm not going to speculate on it because it could be damaging to it.
Well, I know his mother wasn't happy. That's for sure. I got a chance to meet her and she was not thrilled about the first time that this happened.
Yeah, but the NFL is a business, and it's ran that way. And sometimes you're just odd man out, and other times if they find something on you, they give them a reason to get you out of town.
Right. I mean, at this point, it's a brotherhood, right? It's a brand. The Falcons themselves are a brand. So they can't afford to allow something as much as drug use is to infiltrate the system. Their players lining up to come play for the Falcons. And, the guy had two chances. I think if it's, you get away with it one time and then you come and you do it again, I think you gotta go at that point because now that's a problem. One time is maybe a oops, but the second time, that's on purpose. So, good luck to him. I hope, beyond football, that he can get it together just for himself health-wise.
Right.
Way to waste an opportunity.
Yep. Apparently you heard the same things I did by the way you stated that. So, Yeah, that's what I had heard, too. And, we wish the best for him. He did some good things here. But, when you're the NFL, you can't let stuff like that slide very often.
Yep. Oh, sir.
But do you agree with Cody's assessment that the Saints are probably the second-best team in the NFC right now?
No, I do not. And it's not just because I'm a fan of Atlanta.
Right.
It's really because I don't think – they played anybody. I mean, it's that battle tested, right? Have you been in the trenches? But, we'll get to see here soon because they've got Atlanta twice in 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah, I agree that so far they at least they're winning the games they're supposed to. But they're going to get some harder. They're going to hit some harder people here soon because they're going to be playing the Panthers and the Falcons and such. And I keep saying that as good as they're doing, and I wish former Georgia State kicker Will Lutz all the luck in the world because he is fantastic and doing some great things out there. At some point, they're going to come back down to earth, and this win streak is going to end, and then we'll see exactly what kind of team they really are.
Yeah, because they're just really one bad. I mean, even this past game, short of Washington giving it away. They should have lost that game.
Yeah.
They just had no answer for Washington's defense. And they couldn't stop the offense. And we're talking about the Redskins, So
we're talking about Green Bay South.
Right. Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, if they come out unscathed in these next five brutal weeks for all the teams in this division, I just think, they haven't seen enough yet. Much like I feel like with the Rams. I think the Rams, they're a great story. But, regular season.
They're coming back down to earth right now.
Yeah, I mean, regular season and playoffs are a whole different season. And Atlanta learned that the hard way last year. And that means something.
Yep, absolutely. But I think that's going to do it for us this week. We're actually gonna be under an hour. People aren't going to know what to think. Nobody panic. We're giving everybody 5 extra minutes this week to enjoy friends, family, food, whichever you want to enjoy. Or if you're avoiding all three, then, you know, enjoy that as well.
Absolutely.
But, Reggie, I appreciate you being on. And have a safe travels, as always. Have a happy Thanksgiving. If you get a chance to meet up with Cody out there, like I said before, take a picture so that people believe us when we say we actually hang out with each other outside of this show.
Absolutely, I'll do that. Jeremy, you have a good holiday period, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Absolutely. And we'll see you guys at our regular time next week. But for the coach, Haywood Hill, for Superman Cody Elias, for the King AC Elliott, Reggie Walker, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
All right.
I got them shaking, they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate them blue in the face like John Doe. I'm drinking the cake, so let's make. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose, yeah. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pounder real fast, just like the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble,
yeah.
These guys are warriors.